All right, so Matt Christensen is about to be in the house right now. He is the host of Beauty and the Beta, along with Blonde over there. I think they have shows on Wednesday and Sunday evenings. He's a podcaster, he's a live streamer, and a YouTuber. Big fan of Matt over the years. Let's get him on in here. Let's see if it'll work. Matt Christensen, can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, can you see me? What's up, man?
I can.
All right, great. You're on the air right now. How's it going? We were just having some fun watching some videos, not so fun videos of a guy getting shot in DC yesterday. Do you hear about this one that just happened?
Was this the guy who brandished the gun and pointed it at the cops?
Yeah.
18-year-old kid.
And he chucked it really, really far. Yeah, people are going crazy over it today. But I don't know. Well, first of all, thanks for coming on. There, we got some people in the chat, and including myself, that have been a fan of the show for years, and you were on the program a year ago. But just tell us real quick about like what, you know, Beauty and the Beta is and what you do with your channel.
Sure. If you're new to my stuff, I'm doing solo videos twice a week, talking briefly on single topics, breaking them down, trying to be factual and entertaining and, you know, whatever else.
Infotainment.
And the show, the actual stream is Sunday nights for the main show. And that's a long form. I don't know. Used to be like an hour. Now it's like three. You never really know. But that's with my spicy counterpart, my co-host Blonde. And we're going through breaking down news in a long form format that's interactive with our audience and a lot of fun. And then on Wednesday nights, we're doing the call-in show as well. And if you are new to the stuff, you can find all my stuff at mattchristensenmedia.com if you want to check it out there.
Yeah, they got a good community page over there. They got some videos embedded and stuff like that. But I guess first thing we should talk about, I mean, we got the riots, the mobs going on the last couple months. Have you seen any troubles or issues where you are with out-of-towners coming into town raising hell?
Almost none. Cool. I mean, we have our pink hairs in town and stuff, and we had a Black Lives Matter march, but the sheriff here is the sheriff here really gets it.
Okay.
So when they did they had like a rally in a park, and this was earlier in the summer, like closer to the George Floyd stuff. And the sheriff basically told them, yeah, you can exercise your First Amendment rights. You break even one window, the whole thing's getting shut down by force. So be prepared. And nothing happened. Nothing at all went wrong. So credit to the credit to the sheriff here, who seems to get it and wants to protect and defend people's rights. And I don't like the Black Lives Matter people, but they have rights too. They just marched around. They didn't do anything. Fair enough. No property got damaged. Nobody got hurt.
Cool. It's good to see sheriffs that get it. Like that dude in Florida, Grady Judd. I don't know if you know who that is. What a legend.
Is he the guy? I don't know if I saw it in full, but he said something like, I would encourage you not to loot and riot because you're probably going to get shot.
Yeah, yeah. And his most recent quote, a home intruder got killed by a homeowner, and is his quote, I believe, is he was a very dangerous man. He was a very big man, and now he's a very dead man.
The sheriff said that?
Yeah, he's always got. Wow. He doesn't even consider himself to be the primary law enforcement. He says he's there to support the citizens because they're the law enforcement.
Wow, and he really gets it.
He gets it hard. It's awesome, man. It's good to see. But I don't know.
What's it like in DC? How loony is it there?
You know, I went down and filmed some of the stuff about a week after. I went down, I think, five or six different times. And it was everything from a peaceful Saturday huge protest to whole blocks being burned, basically, like the AFL-CIO. I mean, what's really funny is a lot of these places that got smashed out were like very, very lefty friendly, like public sector unions, all kinds of stuff like that. But they would get smashed out, and the next day it would have like just a Black Lives. It was like conquered territory, man. It was like, you know, one day it would be pristine, then smashed out the next, then covered with memorable propaganda the next day.
One thing that I get a kick out of, I shouldn't say a kick because it's awful, but one thing that I find amusing in a perverse way in the current environment is you see a lot of these businesses that they try the appeasement. They might put like pro Black Lives Matter stuff in the window to try to avoid. But I've also seen the businesses that say things like, please, I'm a single mom. This is all I have. Don't smash this.
Ooh,
and of course, I haven't seen that. I've seen that. That's circulating right now.
Wow.
And I don't actually know where I've just seen the picture. I don't know where it is, but I've seen variations of this. Like, please, this is all I have. Don't smash it. And of course I'm sympathetic to that. I don't want anybody's property smashed. But when you think about it, it's like, well, also that, but that's true for every place. Every place is somebody's thing. Whether you're a single mom or whether you're a two-parent household or whatever your story is, every place is someone's thing, someone's livelihood. I don't care if it's Target. I don't care if it's the mom and pop bakery that's begging for mercy. So it, it just sucks to see, because it's like, yeah, but that courtesy that you're asking for shouldn't just extend to you because of your supposed special circumstances. That's a basic standard of decency for every single business on the block.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the people doing this, it's very interesting how you kind of see it on a spectrum, because it is, and it's almost like a spectrum of game theory decision-making, where every single person who has property or a business or is a protester has different decisions to make at a given time. And including that is the government. So here's the question that I have for most people is, like, if you were like, let's operate under the premise that these riots have to stop, like destruction of property has to stop.
Right wing perspective, right? Yeah. Now. I just want you to know that.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. It has to stop. I think, like, it can't be allowed to go on. How does it get stopped? Do you think it has to be stopped?
Oh, of course. The answer to how it gets stopped is your sheriff guy in Florida and the Kyle Rittenhouses of the world.
Yeah, so private with local.
I'm not saying, woohoo, violence, here we go, I love the boogaloo or whatever. I'm saying, like, listen, man, you start ruining people's lives, they're going to start shooting you. That is a easily foreseeable consequence of what they're doing. So. Yeah, that's how I see it ending. I with Kenosha in particular, and then of course what happened in Portland over the weekend, where you have violent encounters like this, and I see it going I'm wondering which way is it going to go. Like with Kenosha, I could see these rioters and looters learning the lesson the hard way and being like, well, shit, I guess if I just ransack my town, someone might shoot me. Maybe I'll think twice about ransacking my town. Or do they double down in pursuit of vengeance? I don't think we have the answer to that question yet. My hope is people start learning the lesson. I mean, watching that footage, I was amazed, because I didn't think you had to learn the lesson that it's unwise to charge a man with an AR-15. Like, it's just, that's a moronic thing. Stop running after him. He's going to shoot you.
You
have no chance.
How do we get this thing where people can watch the same video and millions of people will view it like the same footage a different way? How does that happen?
I'm baffled, because I know there are some nuances with the Kenosha footage, and there's a lot of debate on our show. We've been debating a lot. Like, it's not was he morally justified in what he did? I think generally we agree that he was, but there's we debate a lot about the wisdom of what he's doing.
Hmm.
So there's that. But watching the footage, I mean, it's like Trump talked about it. And I turn on the morning news and they're saying, Trump claims that it was an act of self-defense. It's like,
what's the claim?
Why don't you guys play the footage? It's not Trump. It's not Trump's claim. Like, there's video of it. But that's how it's always framed. I've noticed that the Kyle Rittenhouse is a cold-blooded murderer narrative rarely goes along with the footage itself. It's almost never played alongside those types of headlines.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane. I mean, there's now stuff coming out about the first guy who, like, threw something at him, that he might have gotten shot in the back.
He did, according to the probable cause statement in the complaint.
Interesting. But do they know if it was from Kyle's gun or from
When I read it, my assumption was, okay, he got shot more or less at point blank by a rifle multiple times. So my guess was maybe he took one, and the force of that could spin you around, move your body such that maybe a follow-up shot gets you in the back. But to your point, at least where I think you're going, there's a lot of people wondering if the shot or shots that we know were behind Kyle in that initial pursuit could have been the ones that hit this Joe Rosenbaum guy who was the initial attacker. I don't know, because the statement doesn't say. In theory, the investigation, like the autopsy on Rosenbaum, could maybe tell you. Maybe you could tell, like, it was the one that hit him in the back, a pistol cartridge.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
You'd be able to tell.
Because I didn't see any of the protesters with long guns, really. I didn't really see anything other than that, the bicep guy. Some of these memes are spicy.
Former bicep guy.
Yeah. Do you see, you know, the one where like the black and the white guy are clasping hands and the white guy has the bicep blown off?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, so
that, there were there were so many good ones. And,
yeah. I mean, anyway, I've been showing some of them that I'm worried about getting popped or whatever. I don't know, like neither here nor there. But like, okay, if you're Trump, like, okay, there's some of these cities that if you're right wing, like at least for me, the idea of just pushing Seattle into the ocean is on the table. You know, like all of California into the ocean. But if you're president, do you go in there with the feds and clean up, or do you let them? Continue to fail?
No, I don't, with the exception of I don't necessarily think what happened in Portland was wrong because they're defending federal property. And I know a lot of really purist libertarian types will say, well, why does the federal government even have property in Portland? Yeah. Well, maybe the federal government is too overly extended. Now, mind you, it's just a federal courthouse. I think in general, like, that seems like a pretty pure thing for the federal you're going to have federal courts.
Yeah.
No matter how purist you are about
I see what you're saying.
Government.
That's going to be there regardless. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some debate. Maybe the federal government's too big and too overextended. That's fine. Yeah. We don't resolve that through like burning it down. We resolve that through the political system. So extent there's federal property, I don't have a problem with the feds defending their own property. But if you're just talking about the riots in general and enforcing generally state law, I don't want the feds to be going in there and doing that, because I don't want that to I don't want that same precedent to play out when you have President Biden or whomever else, where it's like, well, screw the local laws and the local law enforcement here. We're sending in the feds to enforce whatever we think is the right thing upon this place. That the other, there are many pieces to that question. The other piece I would say too is that in general, I believe in a federalist system where states are going to mostly control their own affairs. And when you elect people who don't believe in the rule of law and don't believe in serving government's only purpose of protecting your rights, the answer is for you guys to put people in there, you guys being Portland or Seattle or whoever else, put people in who will defend your rights in the way that they're supposed to. That, I think, is a fight for them to resolve. So I think that they got to solve that problem themselves. The only other qualifier I would put on it is I would be a little more sympathetic if, say, Ted Wheeler or Jenny Durkin or any of these mayors or any of these governors were trying to quell the riots, but they were just outmanned and outgunned.
Yes.
Let's say it was just total chaos. And they're like, well, listen, we need federal help. Like, we don't have the guys to do this.
You see none of that, though. Yeah.
If they're asking for the help, I'm more sympathetic. This is not a problem where they're overrun. This is a problem where they just refuse to enforce their own laws.
Yeah.
So I actually, right before I got on here, like in Portland, the murderer guy from last weekend, the guy who's like, hey, are you a Trump supporter? We got a Trump supporter here. Yeah, this guy, bang, bang.
Yeah.
He's still out. He's not been arrested. He's got the black power fist tattooed on his neck. But he's getting this puff profile piece on Vice News. So I got to watch this. It's coming out tonight, I think.
Whoa.
He's getting interviewed on Vice News and he says it was self-defense.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah. Definitely going to look that up after this. That's crazy. So man.
I just find it interesting that Kyle Rittenhouse is sitting in jail right now. You can hear his voicemail from jail from his lawyer.
Yeah. We listened to it. Yeah.
But this guy who, I mean, to be as fair as possible,
that was a hit.
If you wanted to give him the fairest possible interpretation and be like, well, maybe he did defend him. Maybe he was a secret Kyle that we don't know. Maybe he was attacked and shot in self-defense, despite the video not showing that. Why is he walking on the streets giving puff interviews to Vice News while Kyle Rittenhouse sits in jail?
I mean,
know they're different jurisdictions, but this is crazy town.
I mean, the audio on that Portland murder is terrible. It's like, we got one right here, pull it out, bang, bang, and then they cheer.
Well, and I know it's a short clip and I know the audio is bad. Yeah. And I always try to wait for as much context as possible. I don't see the context in which that's going to be justified, though.
Wow, man, this is like a legit, like, rule of law is gone. I mean, it's all power and who's in charge and who's shaking whose hand. And
yeah,
it's crazy, especially in the cities, at least.
Yeah. And that to the question you were asking earlier about how this gets resolved, like, yeah, it's clearly not, at least in those places, the police restoring law and order.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. It's citizens, man. Like, hope you got good neighbors, and I hope you got guns, and I hope you got ammo.
Yeah.
Good luck with that right now.
Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Well, if you can even find it.
People are moving out in droves, and yeah, when I was down there, I mean, what I'm trying to figure out is where and when the actual stand down order happens, because it definitely happens, if not in writing, then like they're like, oh, you got to take one for the team. I don't know how the whole inner like police politics work, but when I was down there, the cops would be at the edge of the block while it was getting burned, and as soon as the block was burned, they would push everyone out of the block. So like,
this was in DC.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
so you saw like blocks burn down. And
oh stuff. Yeah,
I don't know how bad it is there or not.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't burn like the upper levels of the buildings, you know. But but they would smash out the entire bottom.
The Walgreens.
Yeah,
on the bottom.
Yeah.
Floor,
oh, completely yeah. done. All the cars on the block would be burned, completely firebombed.
Yeah.
And so, but the cops could do something right before. It's just really weird. They just push them out as they're burning it rather than after it's burnt. They would let the whole thing get burnt. And then, so no sane person like police officer does that. So you have a hierarchy and orders. So it's got most mayors are like the police are the head of the police force. So that's,
yeah.
I don't know. And they all hate Trump too. So the orange man is a huge factor. All these governors and mayors hate Trump. So
they're willing to burn down at least parts of their own cities to stick it to him.
It's all insurance, like, Matt. We looked that up and it's not. A lot of these places don't cover it. It's just
Yeah, there's that complication. So you have what's going on in Minneapolis, St. Paul, where, yeah, you're covered for certain costs, but it doesn't cover nearly what it's going to take to get this job done. And then to your point, like in some, as far as I understand, some policies, rioting is not even a thing that's covered at all. You're just screwed. But even beyond that, like if every dollar was matched, if you could replace everything without any cost out of your own pocket, wouldn't you just start a new business somewhere else? Why would I take that risk again? For all I know, they're going to burn down my business again next week.
It's insane. It happened a few times. This one guy spent a third of $1 million opening his business up twice, I believe, in Chicago. And then it got hit this most recent time. It was his third time. Like, dude, a little bit of that is you just got to move. Like,
yeah,
I know
you have to leave.
You have to just move. What do you do? It was like a liquor store in Chicago. Like, that's getting hit again for sure.
Have you put any thought to something? Do you think you want to stay in DC?
Oh, I'm out soon. As soon as the election's over, I'm going to be on the street for the election.
You're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Man. I hope that.
Well, a lot of cops.
That clip doesn't age poorly. Stay away from.
Don't clip
the
that.
Mobs, dude. Are you nuts?
It's kind of
send me the footage.
Yeah, definitely. We'll send you the footage. Definitely going to be the guinea pig down there. But to be honest, man, I really, really think that the cops, like the level that DC's on lockdown, it does make it a lot safer because the cops are everywhere. If you look at these other videos from Minnesota or whatever, the cops are pretty far away sometimes. DC, if you run a couple blocks, you're hitting a line of cops. And I would just do that and keep my bandana up so I can smile and crack racist jokes in peace. but
loot a little yourself if you want. Man, I get so tinfoily about that angle on all of this that we've morphed masks from symbol of criminal to symbol of upstanding citizen.
Dude, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about COVID for a little bit. So one question I have for people who are constitutionalists or federalists or whatever, you're saying let the localities fail, basically. Like, unless they're attacking government property, the solution would be political and for Trump not to go in. But if that's happening on a local, you know, with COVID, for me, it was the first time seeing local and state level tyranny rather than always be worrying about. So to me, I would like to see Trump sign an executive order and say that no place requires anybody to wear a mask ever, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I share the spirit.
Yeah.
Because I'm so annoyed with this crap.
Yeah.
But this has been a really interesting exercise for me because it really makes you wonder to what extent this sort of stuff violates the federal constitution and to what extent the federal constitution should extend to the states. Now, the purists, again, at least at the founding, the idea was basically the federal constitution governs the federal government and your interaction with it. States will do what they want and If you got a problem with that, you fix it yourself. Now, I kind of like that theory. The biggest flaw in it is if we don't, under that structure, we don't actually share any values on paper.
Hmm.
So what do we share as a country if we don't share the Bill of Rights, for example? Unless every state has its own individual Bill of Rights copy in its constitution, basically.
So you're talking about a situation like the states superseding the federal government when you're in those states right now, or do I have that backwards?
That under the founding structure, the Constitution was not necessarily supposed to intervene between your state's governance and you.
I see.
That is to say, yes. If your state even wanted to have a law against certain religions or a certain speech, whatever, like direct First Amendment violations, that would in theory be fine under that structure.
Huh.
So, and I actually am pretty sympathetic to that idea. That is to say, the way I've come around on coronavirus is that because I'm so wary of federal intervention, even federal intervention I like, I'm still going to defend state power. And I think pretty much all of this stuff under coronavirus falls under the state's 10th Amendment police powers. That even the stuff I hate, as long as we're not federalizing it and preserving everyone's ability to move to states that are more aligned with their values, that is something I can get on board with.
Yeah.
Granted, to your point, they're pushing it about as far as they possibly can. I can't, like, California, New York, they're practically communist states at this point.
It's insane.
And I know that it's a little bit naive to think like, well, do whatever you want, just leave Montana alone. That's the ideal situation I would like. You commies in New York and California, do what you want, just leave Montana alone. It's very naive to think they're going to do that. Of course, they're going to tell us what to do as soon as they get federal power, and they're going to move here as soon as they're done ruining their state, and they're going to ruin it here.
Yeah,
man. Even though it's a little unsatisfying, I'm still going to, on principle, I'm still going to side with state power over the federal government, even for the states I freaking hate.
Mm.
But I understand where you're coming from on, like, listen, does the Bill of Rights mean something or not? And if we don't share that, then what the hell do we have?
Yeah, I mean, just the covering of the face, just mandating that someone put something on your body is just, to me, I don't know, it's definitely separated like the wheat from the chaff a lot. I don't like support any businesses that take it very seriously. I don't fly anymore. I'm moving to a red state for that reason. And it's just insane. And
what drives me nuts is the government inserting itself in that arrangement. You know, it's like if a business owner is kind of a corona terrorist, they take it very seriously and they want to, you have to wear the corona hijab or whatever. Like it's your property. And I will exercise my discretion, like you said, about whether I want to support you or not. And that's the way it was here until a little after July 4th. And I could decide, do I want to go into Costco? I don't know. They got the stupid mask rule. Do I really care about getting my bulk, whatever I need to buy there? I don't know. Now, though, the government has inserted itself between the property owner and the patron. So I don't know. When I go there, it really pisses me off because I don't know what the business owner's wishes are.
Yes, it's intentionally confusing because there's these exemptions that you are like kind of, they're in legalese. No one can figure them out. No one knows who the authority is. And it's the sheep become the authority. It's like your social pressure of not being called out by Karen is like that becomes the authority. It's infuriating.
Yeah. And I genuinely actually want to abide by property owners' wishes. That is important.
Me too.
But
yeah.
Now it's blurred. So I just don't know. So I have no choice but to just be. I mean, I don't know what you're. If you're a like a no mask purist,
zero. I've worn it like 5 times in the very beginning. It made me feel like I needed a shower. It was terrible. I was felt so gross. Yeah, like 5 times in the very beginning. Last time.
So how many times have you been hassled in DC about it?
Not that many, because I've kind of just became more of a hermit. Like I really just like streamed more and like ordered food in more and you know, but no, not much when I'm out in the street. DC does have a mandatory outside order. You have to wear it $1,000 fine. No one gets fined.
I'm not doing that. No chance.
Yeah. So not too bad, but you know, I'm mostly just in neighborhoods. So it's, you know, you just walk around and life's fine. But if you were to go in one grocery store, zero stores, zero restaurants, nothing, they'll all kick you out.
So my approach has been, I trolled a little bit at the start. One time I wore like a Kleenex on a rubber band over my face. One time I wore like a netted one of those mosquito net hats, because
making a joke out of it is a good way to play it.
It just got annoying to me for a little. So I've settled on the like neck gaiters, and I get in and then I just pull it down.
Yes.
And I love walking around in the grocery store and stuff, because the numbers of people unmasked are creeping up around here. Their compliance is still higher than I thought it would be. I would say it's probably in the neighborhood of 80% masked, 20% not, but it's creeping up maybe a percent or two each and every week. And every time, you know, I'm in the produce aisle, or I'm buying cereal or whatever I'm doing, you see that other guy who's not wearing a mask, and you nod at each other like,
yeah,
real gangster.
That's funny. I mean, I was in a grocery store. I was visiting my mom, and there was three people. They gave you the option of not wearing one, which I really liked. Yeah. So we got in there, and it's my mom and I not wearing a mask, and one other guy. And I was about to give him the nod, and he just goes like, and he's like dipping, and he's like spitting into a cup. And
that's his excuse.
Yeah, that's his. I have no idea, but I was like, dude, like, that's whatever you need to do, brother. Like, he's just like. Like, you know, what's up, cowboy?
That's one of those. If you're drinking water, even that,
just never
that
stop hydrating. You get a catheter. You just let the flow keep going all day. You know, you just piss into it. Yeah. Anyway, anyway. So you've been pretty generous with your time. We're almost done. I have a question to get off topic for a second from an OG fan. So there's a person that watched my show now that is an OG fan of yours from Poning Kids in COD's glory days.
So he has been around for a
while. He's been around for a while. Okay, so with football getting more and more woke, is there anything that would make you stop watching? And bigger picture, where are you at with football and
stuff? What they're doing right now. Like, I don't think this is the first time in 10 years I am not playing fantasy football this year. And the Vikings and fantasy football have both been, major parts of just my recreational life for as long my entire adult life, and even before that. Like, Sundays I turn off my brain for a little while, I eat some horrible junk food, and I watch the Vikings. Like, that's a fall ritual. And I may give, because I haven't watched any baseball this summer after like the Twins did their whole George Floyd honorary, like they honored George Floyd at their home game opener with a mural and all this. I was like,
that's a rough guy to prop up, man. I mean,
I know, it's like, we can have a debate about police treatment, but are we going to pretend this man is some saint? Let's not do this. So I haven't watched any baseball. Football has always been such a ritual to me. The debate in my head right now is, do I give the first game a chance, or am I out already? Now, what's got me worried is they're already talking. First of all, you know, the kneeling is going to be just ridiculous this year. You know, you're going to have to see the pregame Marxist anti-America show. So will I even make it to the kickoff? Probably not if they do that. The other thing they're talking about is they're going to put the names of people killed by the police on their helmets. And I saw, did you see even Drew Brees with his big Jacob Blake helmet?
Oh, gosh.
Like, oh, shit,
dude.
They got Drew Brees. They already beat him into submission. So, you know, the rest of the people aren't going to. They don't stand a chance.
Breeze, he's got to know, too. He seems like a pretty well-informed guy. He's got to know the details on Jacob Blake. That's what I was thinking.
100%.
Yeah. Yikes.
100%. Yeah, Drew Brees, his great crime was like, I don't know, I like this country, and I'm going to like put my hand over my heart for the Pledge of Allegiance. For that, he's been beaten into submission. There was one guy on the Jaguars who said he was going to put David Bourne's name. Now, I want to see, does anyone have the balls? I know there's not a lot of space on that back of the helmet thing where they're working with, but you don't have to put her name. Just put the chick that Jacob Blake probably sexually assaulted. Just put that text in honor of her.
Or the pregnant woman that George Floyd put the gun to her, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, do we get that? Yeah. So I don't know. I would say that right now, I'm about 75% out on the NFL. I am contemplating watching the first game just to see, but I can see where this is going. So what that means, to answer the question, in all likelihood, I'm not watching football this year. I'll spend those 3 hours on Sunday doing something else. I really do love football as an entertainment form, but I'm not going to be told, like, propagandized to hate my country and a whole bunch of lies about things for which the facts are readily available. I can just look it up. You're lying. Nobody tunes into sports for that. So You know, you guys throw the ball, you catch the ball, you tackle the guy with the ball. That's it. So I'm out, man. Like it's crazy to me to be there because football has been so important to me.
Staple for years. Yeah.
But I just, some things are more important. And yeah. I think that general, not blind patriotism, but just gratitude for how good we have it. Let's have some perspective. I think that's more important than football. And I think the truth is more important than football. I'm not going to submit to a whole parade of lies as a pregame show.
Yeah, it's very, very narrative. I mean, they get off with like a 10% of truth. I mean, if you look at the whole spectrum, like 10% of what they're saying is true, and they shapeshift it, narrative, and frame it till it becomes this like hobgoblin of lies. And so, yeah, it's like they operate from like, yeah, there was slavery. That's like the fact that they like operate under, and then they extrapolate out to like, out and out and out.
That
to,
proves every
that
other
proves
claim.
It all.
I mean, Jacob Blake George Floyd, I understand how that looked really bad at first glance, and even with all the facts in, I think there's still a debate for people there. I can understand how that one got a little bit reactionary and twisted. Jacob Blake, I don't understand how people are twisting this one at all. The facts were almost immediately available. The guy was being arrested for legitimate purposes. He resisted arrest. He walked to the car despite police telling him not to do it for like 20 seconds. He opened the car. He either had a knife on his person or reached for a knife, but the knife is confirmed. There were no question marks on Jacob Blake from the start. To the Jacob Blake Hero Appreciation Club, what were the cops supposed to do?
They tried what do you want? Somebody. That's the whole thing about all this is, what do you want?
Let this sexual assaulter man drive that car away with those children. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
It's crazy, cool. Man. Wow. Well, anyway, yeah. So we just did half an hour, man. Thanks so much for coming on. We have one final quick question from a longtime fan. And people that listen to your podcast will get a kick out of this one. What happened to Kevin Flanagan? You remember Kevin Flanagan of call-in show fame, who would alt-right Nazi troll?
I am not at liberty to discuss Mr. Flanagan's affairs, unfortunately.
All right. That's awesome, man. All right. So everyone, check out Beauty and the Beta. And Matt, if you just want to tell people where they can find you and stuff, I'm sure like YouTube or whatever, but how can we find you online? Matt Christensen.
I will always send people to my website because you never know when the day of Susan's axe comes on YouTube. So if you want to find my stuff, it's all on my website, mattchristensenmedia.com. My name is long and difficult to spell, but it's Christian like the religion, S-E-N. mattchristensenmedia.com. It's all up there.
All right. Awesome, everybody. Well, this will be uploaded as a podcast in a couple of days. We're going to kick Matt out and keep streaming for a little bit. But have a good one, Matt. Best of luck with your show.
Thanks. Have a good night.
All right. Peace out.